Well, hello everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle on March 18th, 2013 for our monthly Numerology Academy teleseminar. And boy, what a month it's been so far. Last time we talked, Mercury retrograde had not kicked in yet. And since then, we've all experienced 3 weeks of not only Mercury retrograde, but Mercury retrograde in Pisces with lots of other planets in that watery sign. And I would say that one was a big one for, you know, not only for me, but my clients, family. It just was a really interesting time and still is in some ways because we're just getting out of it now. You know, the moment Mercury moves direct is also very intense. For example, yesterday my daughter Clara had a recital and none of the electricity was working, so there was no light anywhere. That's very much related to that moment where Mercury moves from one direction to another and intensifies. So, and then several of the people who were performing with her on the recital were late because we had the LA Marathon and they couldn't get out. And anyway, it was just one of those. I just kept my mouth zipped, you know, because once you start talking about astrology, people are like, right. So it was an interesting moment there. But anyway, to get back to the astronumerology, there's a lot going on. If you have been feeling somewhat, you know, like you need more rest. That's very typical of a 9 universal month anyway. With the Mercury retrograde, it was even more so. And looking within, taking stock of your life, just being very reflective, almost feeling like you can't really move forward yet. You have wonderful ideas or you think you have wonderful ideas, but you're not, you don't quite have the direction or energy yet to move forward. That's all changing now in the next few days. And by next week especially, you're going to feel much more re-energized, which is very good news. Remember, we have the equinox coming up. For most of us, it will be spring equinox. For those down under New Zealand, the southern hemisphere, it's the autumn equinox. But either way, it's a very important moment. It happens on March 20th, 2013, and that date is an 11-day. So it is definitely about new beginnings this time around in really more ways than one, which I'll go into in a moment. So that energy shift is almost upon us, almost around the corner. And then, of course, keep in mind that 11 reduces to 2, and that March 20th, the 20th is a 2 date as well. So we have a double 2 activated this year on the equinox, and that means between the two equinoxes that happen in March and in September, our relationships will be very much in the forefront. Remember, tying it all together, we're in a 6 universal year, which is about love and family, abundance, business. Anyway, so having this number 2 activated for the next 6 months makes it even more so about the people that we relate with. And that's not just romantically, it's also socially and business relationships as well. So that is one of the signs, this equinox. And then the energy really picks up thereafter because, you know, Venus, Mars, Sun, and Uranus will be in Aries from March 22nd onwards. Again, notice the double 2 there. March 22nd onwards, we're going to have 4 planets in Aries. They're all going to be conjunct initially. They're all going to be in early Aries and together. And then a very important event happens. And that is on the last double 9 day, which, by the way, today for most of us is still the 18th of March. So the 18th is a 9 day, and we're in a 9 month, so that's a double 9. The last one occurs for this year on March 27th. March 27th is when we have a full moon as well. So that day is actually going to be very powerful because not only do we have a double 9 activated, but we have a full moon in Libra, 6 degrees Libra. And, of course, to make the full moon, we have to have the sun opposite it, and the sun will be exactly opposite at 6 degrees Aries. But as you just heard, there will be 3 other planets in those degrees. Actually, there will be between 4 and 11 degrees Aries. And actually, all the planets will be between 4 and 11 degrees all around the actual sky will be in between 4 and 11 degrees. So I'll get to that in a moment because that's very important. But we have four planets in Aries that will be opposite this full moon. And that is very, very powerful. Two of the planets are Mars and Uranus. And Mars rules Aries. It's the ruler of Aries, as you know. And Uranus, of course, is an extremely exciting planet. And so there's going to be a lot of, you know, keywords will be action, to take action, really huge action, like make some pretty major decisions and move forward, because the movement, Mars brings a lot of energy and action and excitement, and Uranus takes us forward into the future. Uranus is very much about, you know, making discoveries and making them quickly and suddenly. The flip side is, so it's very physical, as you can imagine. So the flip side is that you may have a stronger temper, and that there may be anger as well. There may be really radical changes that can happen, or just new approaches, completely new approaches to questions that you had, so that the solutions will come out of the blue during that time. So it's a very, very exciting moment, because really the key word, expect the unexpected. Double nine, of course, is culmination. It is endings. It does bring up the emotional factor. And because the full moon is at 6 degrees, that's also in the emotional triad, the self-expression triad. So that means if you are feeling more emotional, definitely express yourself. Try not to vent, you know, anger at others. But if you do need to, you know, make sure you understand this is a moment to just reflect as well, because you're releasing. The nine is all about releasing to make room for new beginnings. So there, it's a great, great moment actually to shift, because we are also just experiencing the equinox, as you know. And there's one more thing I want to bring up about this time. I mentioned that all the planets around the sky will be between 4 and 11 degrees in their various signs. That means that the moon, the full moon, will touch every planet, because the full moon would be at 6 degrees, which is in the middle of 4 and 11. So the moon is about emotions. The number 9 is about emotions. The number 6 is about emotions. So just be well rested, take care of yourself. If other people get emotional, be patient. You understand what's going on. Explain things to them, you know, be there for them. And just, you know, be aware that this time is one where you can really move through these feelings. You can really address ego issues as well, because the number 9 is about power. And because this full moon and that conjunction in Aries between Sun, Venus, Mars, and Uranus, both the full moon and that quadruple conjunction are squaring Pluto. So that's the last thing I want to bring up right now. As you know, there is a square between Uranus and Pluto that's ongoing, that started last year and will continue through May 2015, and it sort of goes apart a little bit and comes together, goes apart and comes together. Well, it's starting to come back together now. And in May, we will have the first meeting of these two planets squaring each other in the exact degrees once again since June of last year. But what's happening now is that we have a quadruple set of planets, Sun, Venus, Mars, Uranus, and Aries, that are squaring Pluto along with the full moon. That's pretty major. So you can expect some power struggles during this time. Remember, we're in a 9-month. Pluto is about power. There's just a whole lot of energy that's going to be released. And the key word really is released. Could be volcanic, could be very healing. Really what it's about is that you want to release all the ways that you limit yourself right now. And so this period of rest that we all have gone through, it with the Mercury retrograde period in the watery sign of Pisces, that was to get us emotionally prepared, subconsciously prepared for this moment that's coming up, and a very, very big year, as it turns out anyway, 2013 is. So more on that as we go through the year. So that is, those are the main issues. I know I brought up a lot out in the, you know, in this call, but you want to re-listen and just take note. And One of the last things I'll say here, which is more personal to all of you, is you'll want to see where this full moon at 6 degrees Libra is in your natal chart or the natal charts of your client. Because the house that this nulation falls into is going to take on an added importance. So the house takes on an added importance. Any planet that the full moon touches will be activated. So in your chart, that would mean any planet that is close to 6 degrees, so between 0 degrees and 12, 13 degrees, especially if it's, you know, a trine, an opposition, a conjunction, a square, and a sextile. So pay attention to those because of the strength of this full moon, you really do want to look at where in the birth chart it takes place. And you really want to, the way this works with full moon and new moon, you want to look at them like a transit, because they really do make aspects. They do, you know, they do occur in certain houses in your chart, and so you want to pay attention to those. And sometimes they can trigger other transits as well. Transits that are more long-term, the lunations trigger those. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Then the other thing I wanted to say that major influences can be felt if a new moon or full moon is exactly on a house cusp or exactly on a planet. That means exactly conjunct. So if you have something right around 6 degrees Libra or even in the early degrees of Aries, you know, that's important as well, because that's where that quadruple conjunction is taking place. You want to look at that part of your chart and the house and any planets that it affects. Okay? So that's the more personal side of how you would look at the full moon, new moon. Okay. So I did receive several questions, and so we're going to start looking at those. Plus, I am opening the line for any questions that you have. So if you press *6, you can start getting in the queue and ask questions during the call. Meanwhile, I will look at the question for Diana. Diana, you have a couple things you're asking about. One is a simple back to basics question. You give the date of July 24, 1961, and the way you're adding it up is you're adding 7 plus 24. That's not how I taught it in Numerology Academy. If you go back, you will see that the way you add it up is just like for your life purpose number, where every number is a single digit. So instead of adding 7 for July plus 24 for that date, you would add 7 plus 2 plus 4, okay, plus 1961, which is plus 1 plus 9 plus 6 plus 1. Because the resultant number, as you can see, can either be reduced to a 12 or a 21, and there is a big difference in those two. So that's how you do that. Then you say you were reading a book on Chaldean numerology, and you're wondering why I chose Chaldean for names versus Pythagorean. Well, I use Pythagorean for your birth certificate name. That's the one that I feel is the most accurate for your destiny, soul, and personality number. I use the Chaldean for a very different part, and it's not even your blueprint. I would not call your current name part of your blueprint. It is part of your current life, the name that you choose right now to use. And so its effect is on your blueprint, how easy or difficult it is for that birth blueprint to express itself, right? So your gifts, your talents, your lessons, etc. So I use the Chaldean version because I learned about it in Linda Goodman's book, Star Signs, and it was suggested to me by a very close friend, Colette Baron-Reed, at the time. And I just felt immediately, you know, it was one of those huge aha moments for me where I felt, my gosh, this totally makes sense. So big difference between birth name, which is Pythagorean, and current name, where I use the Chaldean, and it's calculated, as you know, very, very differently. The Pythagorean birth name is just adding up the numbers. The Chaldean has many, many rules. It's probably gauging from all the Numerology Academy members who have sent in their charts. It's really the biggest most challenging part of Numerology Academy to get down and understand completely. So it's something, you know, because of all the rules. There's just so many rules, and you have to do it over and over again and do maybe, I would say, you know, dozens, if not 100 versions before you really, really can do it in your sleep and don't have to think about the rules anymore, because there are just so many different aspects of calculating current names that you have to keep in mind as you're doing it. So then you ask for the houses. Is the planetary ruler that you ask for in the actual chart that you turn in, is it the ruler of the house or the planetary ruler of the sign? It's the planetary ruler of the cusp of the house. So it is the sign, but sometimes you can have a different sign incorporating most of your house. Let's say it's your second house and it starts at Libra 27 degrees. Okay, let's say that's the house you're looking at. You're not going to look at Scorpio because, you know, your second house is mostly Scorpio. You're going to look at Libra. The ruler for Libra obviously is Venus. So if your second house cusp is Libra 27 degrees, then the ruling planet would be Venus. Okay, you don't do it from the point of view of the original, ruler of that house, which actually is Taurus. You know, when you set up an original horoscope, Aries is the first house, Taurus is the second house. So when I talk about that, you know, you have also that aspect. Where, let's say, I am talking about your second house, and I say, well, look, you've got Libra on that cusp, so your ruler of your second house is Venus. Now, did you know that Taurus is the natural ruler of the second house, which is also ruled by Venus, right? So when you look at the natural ruler of a house, that can come into play as well. But that's getting more into the deeper layers of astrology. So anyway, I hope that answers your three questions, Diana. Let me know if you're on the call and you can chime in. Let me go to the next person, and that is Ava, or I think that's how you pronounce your name, Ava. You asked, first of all, I want to say I did correct your chart. I didn't see that there are two Fredericksburg in Virginia, that there are two counties, and that made a huge difference. This is a situation where we have Ava, who was born in Fredericksburg, Virginia, but there are two Fredericksburg, which I didn't know, and I'm from Virginia, so it's not good. So, and lo and behold, my astrology program did have both, but it both didn't show up when I did the search. So anyway, to make a long story short, there was a big difference in all her house cusps. And because, you know, just living in a different part of the state changed everything for her, the numbers of her house cusps. So I corrected that, and my apologies for that, and I'm glad you pointed it out. Now to your questions. You are asking about Saturn conjunct your midheaven right now. Your midheaven is 3 degrees, and Saturn is currently at 3 degrees. Let me just see something here. Your Saturn conjunct midheaven exactly at 3 degrees Sagittarius. Okay, let me get your chart up and look at this, Ava. So here and now. Oh, got it. Okay, you're talking about your natal chart. That's right, because I knew Saturn wasn't in Sagittarius. Okay, so what Ava has is she has 3 degrees, 20 minutes on her 10th house, the midheaven, and then her Saturn, her natal Saturn in her birth chart, natal means birth chart, is at 3 degrees, 18 minutes. So that's literally, you know, a conjunction, a perfect conjunction right there. And what does that mean? You know, it's a very interesting question because Saturn is a planet that really brings a lot of teaching and learning, and it teaches you how to overcome obstacles, how to bring organization, teaches you how to learn lessons, and it makes sure that you learn those lessons. So for you, the security and safety of your career is very, very tied into how you feel. So feeling secure and safe in your career allows you to feel like you can move forward and learn about self-control and boundaries and all of those issues. So this is not actually a bad thing at all. In fact, I would say that the positive sign of this is that your concentration is improved. They're steadied by your emotions because Saturn really can even things out. It's a very grounding planet. Yes, it can inhibit. It can delay, but only so that you do things in an orderly way so that you don't jump ahead before you're ready. So it's very much about concentration and self-disciplining your life. And sometimes you feel like reality checks are really huge for you because Saturn is the big reality check planet. But I really don't see that this is going to be something that you should be concerned about, obviously. It just is something that you want to experience. And by the way, speaking of natural rulers, like we did before, Taurus is the natural ruler of the second house. Well, guess who the natural ruler, what sign the natural ruler of the 10th house is? It is Capricorn, which is ruled by Saturn. So Saturn is actually very happy in this position, right on the cusp. It literally is at the beginning of your 10th house. Those 2 minutes, by the way, do not put it in the 9th house. It's definitely in your 10th house, just so you know. And because Saturn is the natural ruler of your 10th house, it feels comfortable there. So for you, even though it may take you longer to get things, off the ground because you really do things brick by brick, there is such a reward for hard work done with this placement. So if you work hard and you're doing work that really fulfills you and brings you joy, then, Saturn in the 10th house can really give you position and status and many responsibilities, acclaim, Now, if this is when you've done career-wise what you're meant to do, okay? So you also want to look at the aspects that your Saturn makes. And there's a beautiful one that you have it's trine your Sun and Mercury in the sixth house, which complements it very well, the sixth house of work and health, right? So that's very, very nice. So, I would say in a way that it's a blessing because as long as you set your goals, yes, you'll be more serious. but once you reach your goals, and by the way, you may not reach them until you're in your 50s. Let's see, you're born in 86. So don't get me wrong. It's not like you can't work towards things now, but you may not feel like you've completely reached everything that you wanted to do until a little bit later in life. Just like I said, Saturn does delay things sometimes. So if you're on the line, by the way, why don't you hop on and get in the queue at star 6 because you can maybe confirm what's happening with you on that front. So I hope that answers your question because it's actually a very, very good question because there's so much fear around certain planets like Pluto and Saturn especially, and there really needn't be if you really understand the healing side of it and the experiences that you happen to choose. And you start looking at the astronumerology because, by the way, your Saturn's at 3 degrees, and that's a very fun number. It's a very creative number, so it really adds a wonderful dimension in a way to the sternness and strictness of Saturn. So, plus, remember, your midheaven's 3 degrees as well, which is about creativity and joy and uplifting others and expressing yourself and communicating and, having a platform. Your ascendant is 15 degrees, as we now know. It's a six, so very much in the same vein, you know, taking on responsibilities, being a healer, the alchemist. So very, you know, I think that you're set up to do extremely well with that kind of placement. Okay. Any other question you had? No, I don't think so. Let's see here. Okay. Let's move on. And Ava, like I said, if you're on the call, get in the queue, please. Let's see. We have Janie. Janie, I know you said you wouldn't be on the call, but you had a question about where to live, that you wanted to move in a few, or actually in around 6 months, and you wanted me to check some of the cities or towns or villages or whatever these are, because I know in England – there can be, like, villages, too. Not that we don't have them here, but. So anyway, I don't recognize hardly any of these names except Glastonbury. So let me look at these, 26 and 4 for Bunbury. And what I'm doing here is I'm looking at these towns that Janie has asked me about, and I'm looking at both the Pythagorean, so that would be like the destiny number, right? And I'm also looking at the Chaldean. I look at both because they both give off a frequency. And then I'm going to Janie's chart, and I'm noticing that she's born on the 14th and is a 5, that her life purpose is an 11-2, and that her destiny is also a 5, a 14-5. So she's got a double 5 and a 29-11-2. So I'm looking at those two numbers. And in Numerology Academy 2, you learned about relationships and how numbers relate to each other, and that's exactly what I'm doing now with these towns. So the first town is a 4 and a 6. The 4 works very well with Janie's 2. The 6 works well with Janie's 2, and both of these numbers are not that awesome for her 2-5s. So I would say maybe on that one. The second city for her, knowing her numbers now, Tarpole, sorry if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, a 4 and a 6. Again, very, very similar to what we just said. It works well with your life purpose number, but not so well with your 2-5. So, again, that's maybe. And by the way, this is the outside of the onion. If we're peeling an onion, the most important number wherever you live is your house number. So that's the inside of the onion, it's the house or condo number. So keep that in mind when we're doing this. Then we have WEM, W-E-M. That is a very good place for you. It's a 14-5 in Pythagorean and a 15-6. So I like that one. Quickly go through these next two. Orwestry, I'm not sure how you say that, is a 9 and a 4. I would say that's on the maybe. And then Glastonbury, last one. Let's do that one. It's a 1 and a 1. That is very nice for you. I like that one. So the two top choices are Glastonbury and WEM, WEM. Okay. So that is for Janie, and then we have a couple people in line here. Let me go to 404 area code in Georgia. Hello?
Hey, Tanya, it's Ava.
Hi, Ava. Oh, good. I wanted you to give me some feedback here.
I found what you said very accurate and just such great insights. I've had, you know, different people comment on different aspects of pretty much every – you brought in some new stuff and highlighted what I've heard before about how it may take a little bit longer, but really it could bring, like, status or visible, like, out in the public, like, a very good, like, well-seen career. And I've mentioned before, but many months ago, you know, I'm writing a book, and it is taking longer, but I really feel the information is about health, so the conjunct of the sixth house, very accurate, and then Sun in Cancer, so that does have to do with women, moon cycles, and the book is on natural birth control, and I just, the information, it's never been published before about how to use herbs and special tracking methods that there's no books about, so I mean, I really feel like it will make a difference when it comes out, then it's just, you know, always a process. I always think I'm closer than I am, but really just going deep into detail with my editors is just, you know, it will get there. It's just focusing on the brick by brick, as you said.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to hear about this book because, you know, that's the writer's number, is the number three right there. The speakers, writers, you know, radio personalities. You just need to express yourself somehow, you know, musically or through words or artistically. So that is fabulous. It makes so much sense that you're writing about something. Also something that has such a, what I would say, a timeless topic. So one, so that would mean the lasting effect, which is what Saturn is about, very much so, you know, the lasting effect, leaving really a groundbreaking work for people to read for many, many years and decades, as opposed to it being one of those books that is appropriate for now but may not be for a few years from now, if you know what I mean.
Makes sense. I also heard someone reference that Saturn could mean either a partner or a parent, and that it could be that a partner could be wealthy or a father could be wealthy. Have you heard that?
Yeah, certainly up there in Midheaven, it does represent that. Midheaven does represent parental energy. And like I said, it is ruled by Capricorn already. You know, the 10th house is the natural ruler is Capricorn. And Saturn does represent that energy naturally. So to have it there absolutely could attract mentors, or not even, they don't even have to be mentors. They can be people who step into your life and support you, who become like parental, what do you call those people, who just extend a hand to you and give you something that will really allow you to move forward in some way. And that could often be monetary support, or it could be, you know, somebody at, for example, a publishing firm who takes you under his or her wing, you know. So, again, that would be more the mentoring thing. So, yeah, it definitely shows that, but that you don't mind that, and that it's some that it's almost like a good luck charm for you, because it's also the number three, which, like I said, is what I would call the lucky number in many ways, you know. It has that sense of social grace and joy and charm, and so you have that ability to attract that kind of influence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I was just looking at, since you mentioned tying in the sixth house, I was noticing as I was going through your webinars that my sixth house cusp is on 17 degrees, which is what you call the legacy number. So would that even add to the career house?
Oh, yeah. And you know what really adds is your 15 as well. Both of those do. The 17 in your sixth house is it. The sixth house is not really about your career. It's about how you do your work, like under what circumstances. So it describes more your environment, your health, and, you know, under what conditions your, like, what techniques you use in your work, what methods you use, your daily life, right? Your nutrition. And since you're writing about a subject that affects people on that level, I mean, it sounds to me like the book is about people, what people do on a very profound level, you know, that affects them. On that note, yes, the 17 would definitely bring longevity to that. And also, it allows you to overcome obstacles because 17 reduces to 8, and 8 is the infinity number. So no matter what, you're always going to keep going, like that battery, you know, that battery commercial. You'll keep standing up and going, no matter what the obstacle is. So it gives you that as well. And it also helps you, just like Saturn does. It's almost like a double whammy here of being very, having an aptitude towards routine and organization, because the 8 is in the 2-4-8 triad, and those are all about, you know, the grounding and organization of your goals. So, yeah. And your sun, you forgot to mention, is in the sixth house. So, you know, it's conjunct Mercury there. That's a pretty big deal too. So because Mercury is very much the communicator, the thinker. So you have, it's almost like you're set up to succeed as long as you're organized and take things step by step and can be patient, you know. So that's how it looks to me. And then the 15, going back to what I said earlier, the 15 is so important because that is the spiritual alchemist, the magician, the healer, the person who uplifts, the compassion, the mother-father compassion figure. So, and you're dealing with birth subject, and right? That's the topic of your book?
Birth control. So like
birth control. Yeah, it's a birth. It's a book about, to do with birth, even though it's birth control, it
okay.
does have to do with that. And 15 reduces to 6, right, which is the
mm-hmm.
pregnant woman. So that, keep that in mind as well. Plus, we're in a 6th year, so you may want to really look into universally, this subject really is a good one to launch in a year like this. I don't know where you are in your schedule.
I'm in a 14-5 year.
But in your schedule, like for the book launch.
Oh.
Do you know where you
yeah.
are?
My goal is to have it launched before my birthday in this 14-5 year.
Okay. Even if it happens after your birthday, that's okay. As long as it's, I was going to say, in 2013, which is a universal 6 year. Because
oh, okay.
The topic of birth. For example, isn't it interesting that the Prince and Princess of Wales are giving birth this year, literally? You know, this summer. So just the topic of birth, and you look at all the birth stories right now. Allie Brown is expecting twins. That's huge. I mean, she's like a major role model for people online. Then there's, you know, whatever the latest Kardashian story is on birth, which I don't follow. But I know that birth is a big subject this year. So for you, it ties in to, you know, looking into releasing your book by the end of the year.
Okay, so once I have my birthday in July, then I'll be in a 15.
Yeah, it can happen before or after. You know,
okay,
it's fine, yeah, as long as it's this year. Because you're tying, because the book relates to everyone, too. It's not just about you.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it's shortly after your birthday, but it could be before, too, because that is a media number, you know, so... You know, that's publishing, that's books. So you're in a perfect cycle. Either way, 14 or 15, one is about you and your media cycle. The other one is about the actual birth number. You know, so it's all good.
Awesome. So the interpretation of seeing the 17 on the sixth house, I was originally thinking, oh, maybe it's leaving a legacy within the realm of health. But
yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. So you
very, very good interpretation. See, you did that yourself.
Okay.
Good.
Well, all your feedback has been amazing and just super insightful, so thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm glad it's helping you. That's wonderful. Good. Well, all my best to you with this.
Thanks.
It's exciting, and let me know when it's released.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, great. Okay, wonderful. So let's move on to, we have one more call. So if you want to get in the queue, press *6. Let's see, we have 208 area code. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. It's Rayora.
Hi, Rayora. I should know your number by now.
Yeah, really?
I know.
Okay, my first question for today. When determining numbers in common in level 2, lesson 4, if one person has 2 ones and another or the other one has 3 ones, it's still considered two ones in common, right?
Yeah, very good question. But you know what? Yes, to answer your question, yes. But the third one that the other person doesn't have, you know, obviously is a tie-in, you know. So, but it's not a mathematical reflection in the other person either. But, you could say that having 3 ones on one side and 2 on the other is a strong connection because the other person had 2, you know. So
does it make any difference? Should you prioritize as far as what two you're looking at to be together?
No, I've never done that way. Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Now my next one isn't quite so concise. But do you know of any particular indicators we can look for to give insights into things like OCD, bipolar, schizophrenia, and things like that?
Ooh, wow, that's a big topic. Boy, you know what? That is a chart-by-chart situation that I look at. I look because I not only look at the planets but the numbers associated with them. So it's very hard for me to say look for this in particular, but certainly a presence of Uranus. You're talking about seizure type health issues? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, not particularly seizure. Any of these disorders or whatever they're called, syndromes sometimes, that people are being diagnosed with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either, you know, maybe a parent asking about a child's chart, or maybe it's their own chart and they have these issues going on. And so I was wondering if there were any things that we could look for that maybe could help for them to bring this area in balance or anything in particular that way.
Yeah, you know, I definitely would, you know, once I would know that was the case, I would look very, very closely at certain aspects and numbers, and also look at the progressions, which sometimes, as you know, can take a long time. If you're familiar with progressions, they can take decades sometimes to pass a planet. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that can have a major effect as well, and so you would want to work with that information. Some planets progress fast. The moon, of course, is the prime example. 1 degree a month, pretty much. The sun progresses 1 degree a year, but there are certain planets that progress obviously much, much more slowly than that. And so if you have a situation, for example, where, Uranus was conjunct sun, or Pluto was conjunct sun, and Pluto is basically sitting on your sun as it progressed planet and gets triggered by certain transits or even other progressions, that could indicate some major issues as well. So I would want to see the chart,
mm-hmm,
and look at it from many different points of reference,
mm-hmm,
you know, and see, and also intuitively gauge what's going on, because it's not just, as you know, this is a gateway into also what you feel intuitively has happened, you know. But to give you like an answer, like definitely look for this and this, it's not something that I tend to do anyway. I'm very careful about that, because it can leave a false impression, because there's so many different parameters when you're looking at a chart, not just conjunctions or oppositions or squares, but what house is it in, what number is it, what other aspects are there, you know, progressions, transits, etc. Sorry, I can't
okay,
answer that
in
more clearly.
The expression you did mention, Tanya, that if a person has, I believe it was 5 ones in the...
Yes,
physical,
oh, certainly planes of expression.
Indicator.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Planes of expression chart is very, very powerful. That one can, I certainly agree with you. If you see a lot of ones, like you just mentioned, it can indicate absolutely that there is an imbalance, any imbalance. I mean, just intuitively looking at a planes of expression chart and seeing that there is a strong weight on certain parts of it would indicate either a major lesson or a major issue to be dealt with, right?
Yeah.
So absolutely, I'm glad you brought that up. It is a hugely valuable tool, and one that I want to actually explore a lot more. I'm making them for every client and any person I'm looking at, including the Pope, who was just elected. And, you know, you really get insights when you start meditating and looking at that chart. So, yes, to answer your question, that would give an indicator, and I'm not sure for you in this instance with your particular clientele that it did.
Well, that didn't show up. That's why I was looking for other indicators.
Mm-hmm.
I did
okay.
read recently that the charts that have a lot of eights in them can indicate that. Have you ever run across that before?
Yes. I've also run across issues with a lot of planets in the eighth house. The number eight certainly does figure. That's why I said I'd have to look at that. It's a combination of things. Eighth house people, and this is something I'll be teaching in level three. I'm going to go really deeply into all of this, but eighth house people do tend to repress sometimes and hold back because they don't feel like they can fit in, and that can cause major health issues because your self-worth is affected, you know. And so depending on what numbers those planets are, where they're laid out, what the aspects are, there can be major issues there, yes. So the number eight can figure in as well. It just depends on, like I said, I'd have to see the chart,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
So current name, everything, you know, you want to look at it all.
Okay, well, that kind of confirmed what I was leaning towards.
Oh, good.
Gave me a little more depth in it, too, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, the eighth house for me is, I sometimes say it's the most interesting house to study. Whether you have planets in it or not, it really gives very deep insights into a person. So, like I said, I will be looking into that. I will be teaching all about that. But I'm glad you brought that up because even the number eight obviously carries some major meanings and has a big effect on people when they're born on the 17th or the 8th or the 26th or, you know, when that number figures greatly. It really does, for one, show that they will for sure have some obstacles that they will overcome and gain strength from. That's a given with that number. So then you have to look at the rest of the chart and see how supported they are in this, you know, endeavor. So, but yeah, it's a fascinating subject. And
so you're
as you can
looking for imbalances, whether it's with the eight number or whether it's with too many in a physical plane or whether it's too many in one house or something
mm-hmm.
like that, you're looking for imbalances. Right?
You're looking for imbalances, and some imbalances are actually strengths and some imbalances are really imbalances. It depends on the house and the planets. So, for example, let's say you have seven planets or six planets in one house. That's huge, and that house will be obviously the driving factor. And then if you have a planet opposite that house, what does that mean, you know, pointing to the house? So, it again, I look at it person by person, but, yeah, it can be either imbalance or it can be a focal point of intensity for the person. So, in other words, they're either going to handle it and through their obsessive drive to, you know, accomplish what they need to accomplish, which, by the way, a lot of highly successful people are very obsessive. They either, you know, accomplish, you know, whatever that the meaning of the placement is, or they become imbalanced, as you say, and overwhelmed because they haven't learned to deal with it or they haven't been explained what it means, so they don't understand why certain things are happening to them, and so they put the blame outside of themselves. Because they can't go within to make those changes because all change happens from within. That's where you come in as a healer, you know, by interpreting that for your clients and allowing them then to take the reins into their hands and walking through their life in a much more positive way because they now have the golden key. They understand, okay, that's what it is, you know.
Right.
And I think that's what you're so good at. I just know from the Numerology Academy Facebook page, you are an amazing contributor to that page. So you really do tune in. And I want to thank you for that, by the way. I enjoy reading your posts. And
I enjoy it. It's a really fruitful place to be.
Yes, I feel that. And I'm really, really, you know, so happy about that community. So thank you for making it a great community.
You're welcome.
So, yeah.
Welcome.
Good.
Oh,
well,
Sonia, I think that does it for me for this time.
Okay, good. Well, next time
thank
I'll...
Thank you. You really did help me, especially with pulling all the pieces together.
Oh, good. I'm
yeah.
glad. You know, every time I answer one of the questions, I get helped. As you know, that's what it's like. It's all about learning as you teach.
It is.
Oh, gosh. Well, good. And
okay.
I thank you so much, Rara, and thank all of you and wish you all of you a fabulous moment here that we're approaching. It's one of those pivotal moments in the year, which there'll be more, but this is a big one coming up now with this full moon. So enjoy it, and we'll have reports for each other on our next call in a month from now. So happy Easter if you celebrate Easter. Happy spring, happy autumn, and I will see you in April. All right, goodbye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye now.